So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ari Leela, chapter 14, entitled Lord Chaitanya's Childhood Pastimes. And we are discussing verse 52 till 55. So we'll chant text 52. Translation. All the girls became very angry at the Lord for his behavior. Dear Nimai, they told him, you're just like our brother in our village relationship. Therefore, it doesn't behoove you to act like this. Don't take our paraphernalia for worship of the demigods. Don't create a disturbance in this way. The Lord replied, my dear sisters, I give you the benediction that your husbands will be very handsome. Now today's verse, text 55. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation, they will be learned, clever, and young, and possess abundant wealth and rice. Not only that, but you will each have 7 sons who will all live long lives and be very intelligent. Now, please remember, this is Lord Chaitanya's benediction to these young girls. This is a small talk between a young boy and young girls. Purport. Generally, it is the ambition of a young girl to have a very handsome husband who is learned, clever, young, and rich. According to the Vedic culture, one is rich if he possesses a large stock of food grains and a very large number of animals. Dhanyena dhanavan, gavaya dhanavan. One is rich if he possesses food grains, cows, and bulls. A girl also desires to have many children, especially sons, putra, who are very intelligent and long-living. Now there is propaganda to have 1 or 2 children and kill the rest by contraceptive methods because society has deteriorated. But the natural ambition of a girl is to possess not only more than 1 child, but at least 6 dozen. In exchange for the paraphernalia of worship he usurped for himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to bless the girls to fulfill all their ambitions and desires. One can easily become happy and obtain the material benefits of a good husband, wealth, food grains, and a number of nice children by worshipping Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas at an early age, it is not necessary for his devotees to follow him by also taking sannyas. One can stay householder, but one must be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one will be happy with all the material opulences of a good home, good children, good meat, good wealth, and everything he desires. Therefore, the Shastras advise, Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha, Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Every householder, therefore, who is actually intelligent, should introduce the Sankirtana movement home to home and live peacefully in this life and go back to Godhead in the next.
Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Om Jnana Trimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
We all will be doing a little mental adjustment today, and I'll explain what that adjustment is. Vedic literatures are vast. According to Bhurijan Prabhu's book, Surrender Unto Me, there he gives an estimate. Anyone has a general idea how many Vedic verses are in existence? He says there are 1 and 10 zeros after that. That's the extent of just existing Vedic knowledge. Of course, in context, it is said that most of it is just ritualistic knowledge. Can we give a name to that number? 1 and 10 zeros? Could be 100 billion or 10 billion. Okay. And imagine majority of that just dealing with ritualistic ceremonies or not the real essence. So, any change? Okay. Yes, 10 billion. And therefore, this knowledge kind of touches all aspects of life. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada's purports, they also touch many aspects of a devotee's life. I had this mental knot for many years, and one day Romapad Maharaj in Mayapuri gave a class, and that kind of sorted things out. He said, and see if it applies in your life also, sometimes Prabhupada takes a very strict stand on some issue. That particular purport is like, everybody just do this. This is very important, and that's what we should do. And in some other purport, Prabhupada could be taking a very lenient kind of stand. For example, regarding sannyas, this very purport says it's not necessary for all to take sannyas. And in some other part of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada would be saying, every householder should not strive to remain a householder. At least at the very end, you should take sannyas. Anyone remember reading that? Right? And there is evidence for both angles. When Prabhupada took sannyas, it's there in the Lilamrit. There was one more sannyasi along with Prabhupada, Muni Maharaj. And if you see his background, he was a Vaishya, a shopkeeper, and he had his fill of his material life. He had his sons and daughters married and taking care of the job, business. And this individual now comes in the ashram, stays in the monastery, takes sannyas. What does he do? Does he go out and start a movement? Does he start translating books? Does he start giving fiery speeches? No way. He's just the senior most member of the community. Now he has decided, now it's time for me to enter the fourth order. So that type of sannyas also is there. While it's in ISKCON that we have sannyasis who could be just simple brahmacharis or grihasthas the day before their sannyas, and now they are suddenly encouraged to be strategizers, movers and shakers, and they have to be performers, they have to lead some area, they have to be leaders of people. It's tough. It's difficult. So, one aspect of taking sannyas is you are an exceptionally talented either brahmachari or householder, senior householder. So, it's possible. So, the point which I am trying to make is today we shall try to discuss this particular Gaur Leela by taking shelter of this particular purport only. There will be many other views. I also, when I read that, I had so many other angles, but I thought maybe just for relishing today's thing, let's only concentrate on what we have today. Maybe in the question answer session or in the comments time, we can have other things, but right now just try to focus on what's happening. So this is part of the childhood pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I just did some background reading as to why devotees should come together and discuss what's the point. I got a hint in the first canto, second chapter, text 15. Yadanudhyasina yukta karma granthani bandhanam chindanti kovidastasyai kona arthakur yadratim kona arthakur katharatim. That purport Prabhupada says the contact between the spirit soul and material elements creates a knot, which is very difficult to solve it or to cut it. The only remedy available for the conditioned living being, the verse says, karma grantha nibandhanam. There is bondage. When the spirit comes contact in touch with matter, now from one angle, spirit can never mix with matter, just like oil can never mix with water. They're always separate. Asangoyam purusha, the living entity is also sometimes called purusha. Why? If purusha is only Vishnu, if purusha is only Krishna, the Supreme Lord is only the real purusha, why is the living entity called purusha then? Any ideas? He's the imitator. He's not the real purusha, but he wants to take that role. He assumes that position of, I also want to enjoy. So the Shastra says, all right, we'll also call you a purusha. But you're not the real one. You cannot remain. And when this living entity has that desire to enjoy matter, it causes that knot in the heart. A fairly simple example. It's if I'm sitting in the Radha Gopinath temple and we are having a class, and in front of our temple there is a small lane which is always very crowded, and sometimes when our temple van or temple car needs to be to go somewhere and there is some devotee's vehicle or somebody has parked a vehicle just outside the gate. So many times it happens, the speaker gets a small note and he has to read that there's a blue vehicle just parked in front of the gate. If somebody has parked it, can you just, you know, take it away? Now it so happens that one day three people stood up, blue, but then only one walked out. Why? Because two realized that their vehicle was not parked outside the temple gate. Their vehicle was somewhere else. So they got up, oh, not me. But the one who knew that, you know, in a hurry he had just parked it outside the temple gate, he knew he had to take it away. So this is how we can understand our connection with matter. Now there are 500 people sitting there. Why all of them didn't get up? Because there is no connection. Somebody said, I didn't bring any vehicle, so why should I bother? So although we are separate, our false ego, that's how Shastra described, it has us thinking, this vehicle is mine. Like for example, there's a sporting event and there are two teams, like in England if it is football, and just a minute remaining and there's a chance to make an equalizer, and if one team misses, you'll find that all the fans which are all gathered at one part of the stadium, they're like, oh, while the other team, they're like, ah. Now why? You may say, of course, I cheer, this is my team. But this is all our ego has identified with that particular team. So ownership of anything material is also like that. And as we go deeper in this subject matter, the Vedas teach us, similarly this body, although this body is like a dress, this body is not us. Right from the beginning we know that I have a feeling, this is me. But if I see my album, this is me when I was 2 years old, 4 years old, 6 years old, 8 years old, 10 years old. Which one of them is the real me? I say, all. How can it be all? You just have to be one person. But he said, no, this is all me. Which means that is changing. But still if it is changing, I feel, identify, this is my body. And this is how, as soon as the body, the spirit soul has to be forced to leave the body, the only thing in our mind is, I need to enjoy, I need to be happy. How will you be happy? Of course, I need a body. Here it is, the next one. Shrotrum chakshum sparshanam cha rasanam ghanam eva cha adhishthaya manas chainam vishayan upasevate. Krishna explains, we have affinity for a particular type of ear, nose, eyes, shrotrum chakshum sparshanam, skin, and all of this is centered around the mind. So the mind is the root of all, mind is a place where all these desires generate. So, coming to the words from the first canto, second chapter, Divinity and Divine Service. To cut this knot in our heart, there are so many different paths, Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, I think yesterday also we discussed. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they would discuss paths like Buddhism, where you are just told that, cut off all your attachments, make everything zero. So he said, what if somebody has a hand, and if there is a sore or a wound, and one solution is to cut it off. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki, Shri Kaunitai Ki, Shri Ram Lakshman Bhaktanumani. So cutting off your arm, certainly you won't be having any bandages or any sores or anything there. But is that the solution? If somebody has a big house, maintaining it, painting it, paying the rent is a big problem. And someone says the solution is burn it down. You say, what do you mean? Yeah, no house, no rent, no painting, no maintenance. No problems. Just imagine, this is what the world is currently being attracted to. That what if I just root it out, take out the whole thing? You cannot do that. Karma grantha nibandhanam. Outwardly you can root out something, take it out, destroy it. But the process of generating desires continues. So what does the Bhagavatam recommend? The Bhagavatam says, who is that intelligent person who won't spend time discussing the pastimes of Krishna, katha ratim? Now, I'll make an honest disclaimer. I am not somebody who relishes Bhagavatam. I just do it like a doctor tells, this medicine 3 times a day, 4 weeks. So it's like that. So sadhana bhakti is, how do we put it? Once Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj in one of his classes said, it means loving Krishna without any love for Krishna. Very apt and very accurate. All over the world we have, like somebody might say, okay, you want me to join the Hare Krishna movement, you want me to chant Hare Krishna, but cannot I wait till I get full developed love for Radha Gokulananda? Can't I wait till I really have the sincere desire to come for Mangalarti? Till that time, I'll wait. They say you can wait till donkey's ears before you actually will get a pure desire to come for Mangalarti. Or to chant Hare Krishna. Or to chant a serious vow. Whether it is 4, 8, 12, 16 doesn't matter. Prabhupada says in the beginning one should be serious. Now surprisingly, in the outside world, the so-called karmi world or whatever names we give them, there if it is something like sales or marketing or jogging or running or swimming, what rules apply there? There the rules are, you do it and then you'll start loving it. Strange. They use the same rules we use here. I know one author from England, is very famous. He has a nice English cottage, lives near Oxford, and his books are not more famous than Harry Potter, but they are more smarter than Harry Potter. Many people say that, yeah. So what does he do? Every morning he says, I leave my cottage and there's a small shed in the courtyard, which is his writing area. He goes there, locks himself up, and 3 foolscape papers typed. He says, unless I type 3 foolscape pages, I don't allow myself to come out. And he was asked, do you feel sometimes like not doing that? He says, oh, almost every day. Do you love what you're doing? No. So then why you are doing it? He said, because I know unless I discipline myself, the real story down below somewhere, it won't come out. So many times he writes 3,000 pages, like for 3 years of writing or 1,000 days of writing. 1,000 days is 3 years. And he says, I don't use a single page for my new book. Can you imagine the kind of hard work these so-called karmis outside, they do just to write a children's book? They are not wrong. And they are not fools. We may call them so many names in our Bhagavatam classes, but they are not fools in that sense. Why? Because they use the principle properly. And the principle is, in every field, in the beginning, discipline is required. And at that particular time, you don't really pay particular attention to how your heart feels. Many years ago, in Chowpatty, one boy joined. He was there for a few months. And one day he gave a very innocent but a serious proposal. He told the temple president that, why don't we have Mangalarti at 9:30 in the morning? And many of us, including myself, we were thinking like that all these years. But we didn't just have the courage to recommend it to the temple authorities. And he said, why? He said, well, you make us work all day long, then we have evening programs. Sometimes we come to the temple at 11 o'clock, 11:30, 12. So, I heard that some of the neighbors, we had a lot of lawsuits with our neighbors, 22 or 25 of them. And one of it was, why should you bang these cymbals and drums and everything early morning? So then it went to the Supreme Court and they said, okay, 5 o'clock is allowed. So our Mangalarti, we are a bit lazy than all of you here, but it is approved by the Supreme Court. 5 o'clock. Still he was suggesting, if we have at 9 o'clock, neighbors will not have any problems. We also will be properly rested. So it would be nice for everyone. Offices also open at 9 o'clock. No offices open at 5 o'clock. So I was thinking, how do we convince such a person that, no, Brahma Muhurta means 4:30 or 5, the latest. Of course, he didn't last long in the ashram. He had to move on. The point is, Srila Prabhupada uses this thing, this line, disciple means discipline. Now, discipline doesn't mean you be so harsh that you break somebody, but discipline is mainly to mold someone. So, this chapter, Divinity and Divine Service, first canto, second chapter, and verse 15, it says that you have to develop a taste, katharatim, a taste for Krishna's pastimes. How does one go about doing that? Number one is like what all of us are doing here. We congregate, we sit together, but then what do we discuss? There is one point in the Srimad Bhagavatam, why does Krishna enact so many pastimes? Why Mahaprabhu did so many of his pastimes? One simple answer is, so that we get something to discuss. The word pastime is also not something which we use in our current parlance, right? We don't every day, sometimes we say, oh, this devotee had funny pastimes, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used the word sports. We don't use sports in that thing today. Amorous sports of the transcendental couple. Radha Krishna Leela. I asked somebody, I don't remember who, but I asked some authority in Sanskrit in our movement, and he said the word Leela basically means playful. It's a play. It's not actually a very serious kind of thing from one angle. Another understanding of the word Leela is where it is done purely for pleasure. There is no hard work involved. You and me, while we read the books or we try to understand the Leela, we sometimes feel it's hard work. It's like, oh my God, it's so difficult. This pastime is so intricate. Once Giriraj Maharaj was explaining that, okay, let me begin with asking a question. Are Prabhupada's books simple? Are Prabhupada's purports simple? Yes. The language is not that difficult, right? The only thing is our unfamiliarity with the language. When we come from our backgrounds, college, university, or whatever, or our various occupations, we are not simply used to hear transcendental. Nowadays, anything we find strange, we call it transcendental. Oh, he's transcendental. Or the modes, or devotional service, or supreme personality of Godhead. We heard of God. What God? What is Godhead? Head God or God's head? What exactly does it mean? Credit Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur with that. It is an old Victorian expression. It's there in Oxford Dictionary. It may not be in current usage right now. God just meant a lord. This is the land of lords and ladies. So lord is a very commonly known expression. Godhead in the old dictionary specifically means a personality, a person. Because God could mean an impersonal power. But Godhead has to be a person. So our expression Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, is a surgically precise selection. It's not just an arbitrary thing which we just bandy around it. Yeah, this is we call Krishna the supreme personality of Godhead. No. God is a person. Even the Christian religion or Islam or Judaism, they also have some understanding, but they are very, very rigid. He's not a mundane person. He doesn't have form. That we also have, saying that it's nirakar. But we are not interested. In the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says, there are so many ways in which you can try to understand God, but the Srimad Bhagavatam hits on the bullseye. The absolute truth. Truth which is not relative. And therefore, Krishna, among the various personalities, is the supreme. So his leelas, his pastimes, or his sports, according to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, are the ways in which he comes in this material realm and acts. With whom does he act? With any Tom, Dick, Harry, with anyone? No. So he brings his own paraphernalia. Jadavid Maharaj gave a very nice example. He once went to the American consulate in Mumbai. And he's an American citizen, so no problem for him. So as he entered inside, there was some work with the consul general himself. He found that it didn't look like India at all for him. The furniture was American. People spoke American language. The paintings, the ambience, even the stationery was American. So he gave the example. This is Mumbai. This whole building is surrounded by Mumbai's atmosphere. But inside you don't feel like you're in India. So he said, this is how you can understand the Dham. Krishna, when he comes here, he doesn't recruit kind of participants in his Leela from the available stock here. Sorry to say that, but he knows what quality of assistance he will get here. He brings his own. That's why we say, Nama Rupa Guna Leela Dham. So Dham means his influence, and also Dham means his abode. So he brings everything with him. These small girls here, they look like just participants in this kind of drama. But nobody can be a participant in Krishna Leela unless he is from that realm. Now we come to our previous objective. We are spirit souls and we are deeply entrenched in this material realm. What has happened after that? Not just one, unlimited knots in our heart. A knot is like it's a twist. You cannot solve it. And every time that knot gets touched upon, we feel attached. So the solution for that is, according to the Bhagavatam, you hear. Just again, Prabhupada uses very nice language, oral reception. Anybody remember this word? Oral reception. Submissive oral reception. Just imagine, like, we have a guest team here and there are guests coming to the manor and they are very nicely welcoming them. Please, sir, please come, please come, please come. So this is how a sadhana, a sadhaka, one who is performing sadhana bhakti, he allows this message through his ear holes. Please come. Like sometimes devotees feel, I come to the class, I read Srimad Bhagavatam as a daily routine, I don't have any questions. Does it mean I'm a dunce, I'm a fool, that, you know, I don't have any questions? Well, some have too many questions. We have all kinds of devotees. Right? I heard this answer and it satisfied me that regular attendance in class is a sign enough that you are serious about hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't need to have your own unique questions, which are not even asked by any Bhagavatam personality. You know, you don't need to worry about that. But just the very notion of I'm here and I'm giving oral reception, that's good enough. The message is powerful enough. As one devotee put it, we don't need to make Krishna attractive. He already is. He's already all attractive. We don't need to make him artificially embellish him in any way. So therefore, we will see something about today's purport. I said we will try to be partial to today's purport's mood. Child Nimai, his pastimes are discussed. Mischievousness or frivolity is something which is bad if an adult shows frivolity. We, as followers of Srila Prabhupada and Gaudiya Vedanta, we have an umbrella expression. And what is that? Krishna is the source of everything. Janmadi asya yataha is the source of everything. You mean to say even our sentiments, our emotions? Of course. Whatever you see here in this material world is because it exists in the real world. 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Urdhva Moolam Madhashakham Ashvattham Prahuravyayam. Arjun, this material world is a reflection and the reality is above. It's a very simple thing we can all see anywhere. There's a lake and there's a tree. There are two trees. One is standing on the lake and one is reflect on the water. But both have fruits. Is it not? Which of the fruits can you actually enjoy? If you say, I'll take this first and then I'll take those. No. You may dive in the water repeatedly, thinking that at least one day I will be catching one of those fruits. You will never get them. So, friendship, love, society, contentment, all of these things are deep yearnings for the soul. But we keep on diving in this lake, hoping one day I will get them. And if somebody tells you, if you're not getting, why are you putting up efforts? You say, I can see them, that's why. So being a student of Bhagavad Gita means you turn your gaze upwards. And that time you realize, hey, there is another set of fruit here. Krishna says, no, this is the another set. This is the real set. all your lives, not just one life, for millions of lives, you're looking at them as if they are real. Why don't you look upwards? So, all these various avatars, they also carry a particular mood. Like Lord Narasimhadev, you can't joke around with him. He didn't play any pranks. He didn't cut any jokes. He was not mischievous. He personified only one thing. Absolute anger. But Prabhupada explains in lecture, pure anger. Why is it called pure anger? In our material history, we also have so many angry people. Hitler, Stalin, Napoleon, Mussolini, to name a few. They were really angry about something. But their anger was relative. Their anger was conditioned. Their anger produced untold misery for everybody. But Krishna's anger is pure. Like there are many people who are against the notion of a God who is angry, or they are angry that God, you know, doesn't do something. So either one of them becomes angry at different times. How can God have emotions? Or how can God have this kind of proclivities which we attribute to human beings? Our understanding is, He is the source of everything. How can the source not have something and the byproduct or the part of it, how can the whole have not have something but the part has it? Mathematically, it is not possible. The reverse is possible. The part doesn't have it, but the whole has it. That's the accepted reality. But something is not there in the whole and the part is exhibiting it. That's not acceptable. So, we will be celebrating the divine appearance of Lord Ram. Lord Ram is called Purushottam. Krishna is called Purushottam. But for different reasons. Anyone knows the specific nomenclature for Lord Ram? What kind of Purushottam is he? Maryada Purushottam. And what does Maryada mean? Sorry? Decency. Yeah, that's a good suggestion. It means the limit. It means the proper decorum. This is how an ideal son would behave. Ideal husband, ideal king, ideal warrior, ideal enemy, ideal brother, ideal diplomat. Everything ideal. And when you read the Ramayana, you really feel, why doesn't he fight for himself? Why is he always at the receiving end of all rules and regulations? That no, I whatever way the world goes, you know, I will not break any rules. I'll not do this. I'll not do that. It is said that just a small example of his maryada. Vibhishan gives up Ravana's company and is coming through the skyways. And Lord Ram, along with Hanuman, Angada, they are discussing. So who's he? Hey, looks like a spy or something. So some of the soldiers in the monkey army are saying, arrest him! Let us kill him! And that time Lord Ram, he begins a sort of a discussion with his associates. How do I reciprocate with him? What should I do if he comes? Now please remember, he's asking, how do I reciprocate with him? So Hanuman is saying, be suspicious. I'm very suspicious. Ravana's brother coming now could be danger for us. Somebody is saying, well, he's an asylum seeker. Give him asylum. Somebody is saying, arrest him. Somebody says, kill him. So Ram is saying, you guys should understand. I'm saying, how should I reciprocate with him from my status? They probably didn't get that. So after everybody has spoken, Lord Ram says, actually I will give him the whole kingdom of Lanka. Imagine, the war is not fought yet. Ravana is not destroyed. Ravana is still there ruling. And here Ram is saying, I'll give him the kingdom of Lanka. So he means, really? And then one hypothetical question is brought forth. What if Ravana surrenders now at this juncture when the Ram Setu is built, the bugles and everything, the horns and the drums are sounding and war is imminent, any time war could break out. And without a blinking of an eyelid, Ram says, I'll give him Ayodhya. What about you? He says, I don't mind. So this is how Lord Ram is telling his associates, you might behave in any way, but this is how I will show my behavior. So this is Maryada Purushottam. Very difficult to emulate. I don't know, in my childhood, I was not really exposed to so much of Ram Leela. But now I meet devotees from North India. They have Ram Katha and they have heard Ram Katha so many times. In fact, some devotees who have taken initiation, they said, we used to like Lord Ram a bit more. Krishna was a very tricky personality, you know, very clever. You can never catch him. And he can flaunt all rules without any impunity. I mean, with impunity, with no care, doesn't care for anything. And if you ask him, why did you do that? I'm Krishna. So when you read Ramayana, the pathos comes out. You feel, poor guy, you were just about to be coronated and now he's trudging along the forest path. When you read Krishna Leela, it's like, I need that. This guy has all the beautiful girls rooting for him, saying, we want to marry you. So with Krishna Leela, the Shastras say, careful, careful, careful. Leela Purushottam. Ram is Maryada Purushottam. What Ram did, all of us can imitate. We won't, that's a different point, but we can imitate. Surrender to Guru, surrender to the authority, surrender to etiquette, following all the laws. But with Krishna Leela, even if we like, it's high voltage. If you touch it, you'll get burnt. One class, Prabhupada says, we sing Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhav, a young girl, Radha Rani, and Madhava. Kunja Bihari, dallying and dancing in the groves of Vrindavan. Very nice. Gopi Jana Vallabha, with another set of young girls, maidens, and their Rasleela. Very sweet. And therefore, we have too many imitators in India. There are people, there are gurus who dress like, they are hideously looking, ugly people. But they have a peacock feather and they have a flute in their hand. As if just by wearing a peacock feather and a flute you become Krishna. No way. So Prabhupada says, till that time Krishna becomes very attractive. Or Krishna looks very attractive. Gopi Jana Vallabha. And then he says, Giri Vara Dhari. How do you manage that? I'll tell you a very funny thing. Once a young student was debating with me that why does your God have to marry so many, 16,108? I said, where did you get this information from? He said, it's in your book. Your own book says that. I said, all right. So your objection is, why should God not be moral? You have this debate here that God has to be moral. It's a big thing in India. That God also has to follow some moral discipline. I said, do you also know about the lifting of Govardhan Hill? So he said, yeah. There is some sort of hill and he picked it up with his left hand. So what do you think of that? He says, that's a fable, isn't it? It's not true. Tell me, it's not true, right? I said, wait a minute. Both of these stories come from the same book. So one you are willing to discuss threadbare as to why can't he just have one wife and live with her happily? Why does he have to marry 16,000? That means you accept this as gospel truth. You are willing to discuss it, analyze it, threadbare. And the other part about him lifting Govardhan ill, you're saying, oh, that's not true. So you see, this is the half-hen logic. You take something which you feel convenient for your discussion, and the other part, you easily take it out. That's not proper logical discussion. So we discussed Lord Ram, we discussed Krishna. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then? What kind of Purushottam? Any guesses? Sorry? Prema Purushottam, Audharya Purushottam. Is it there in some, there is a praman for this word? I heard for the first time. I'm just curious, I'm asking about Prema Purushottam. Okay, yeah. Okay, yes. Correct. Guru Govind Maharaj say Prema Purushottam. This Prema of Mahaprabhu is actually described many ways as Audharya. Udar is to be magnanimous. Udar is broad-hearted, large-hearted. And audarya is an adjective. Udar is a noun, audarya is an adjective. Why audarya purushottam? It's because giving something to someone who is totally undeserving, that's when your magnanimity, it shines forth. So none of the living entities in this material world, they ever said that we would like to see Lord's pastimes. No. We could be divided among countries, counties, or shires, or village, or family background. There is a lot of scope for disunity in this material world. But from another angle, the entire material world is totally united in one thing. We don't need God here. We may disagree about the way of sense gratification, but we say sense gratification is everybody's birthright. So nobody invites Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada told his American disciples in New York, none of you invited me. I came because I had enthusiasm. None of you told me to write these books. So I am writing. In fact, sorry to say, I'm making an honest confession before Vaishnavas. Many years ago, when some new book came on the Bhagavad Gita, I said, oh no. Somebody said, why not? He said, I haven't finished the last three books and now one more book comes in, one more book comes in. But actually, devotional service to Krishna is expanding. Prabhupada said, my disciples will be writing purports to my purports. So, not just to show scholarship, that's for sure, but as the language evolves, as etiquettes evolve, like some of the things which we discussed today here, generally it is the ambition of a young girl to have a very handsome husband who is learned, clever, young and rich. Obviously, Prabhupada is speaking from a very simple cultural angle. According to Vedic culture, if one is rich, if he has food grains and large number of animals. Strange, even many people in India would not be having this kind of mood today. But I'm not here to give you a sociological talk on whether you should have rice. It says here, dhanyana dhanavan, that is, one is rich if he possesses food grains, cows and bulls. But think about it. A time will come when with all our nuts and bolts and tires and gadgets and valves and everything, we will know that we can't eat them. It's a fact.
Just 2 days ago, there was this story about Norway, Scandinavia. They are building one of the largest underground seed banks where all kinds of seeds will be protected. Why don't we have a bank where we keep the original iPhones or the original telephone or the original personal computer or something? You say, hell with that. Who wants that? Because at the end of the day, when it comes to subsistence, this is what we will have. So although Prabhupada's logic, culturally very much partial to India, I agree, many things you may not be able to understand here, but the fact is, we need to take forward the Hare Krishna movement by also understanding cultural sensibilities. Many things won't be possible right now, but that doesn't mean we need to discard them. I'm going to touch a very delicate point now. Now there is a girl also desires to have many children, especially sons who are very intelligent and long living. Now there is propaganda to have one or two children and kill the rest by contraceptive methods because society has deteriorated. But the natural ambition of a girl is to possess not only more than one child, but at least half a dozen. Is it true? Thank you, Mataji. I'll end with this thing. China had this one child policy. If you know, it has more than 1.5 billion people. A few weeks ago, I read this report. The government says it has failed. They were punishing people if they have more than one child. But then they realized, this is not how you artificially kind of limit the way in which people want to express their love. In India, since our great Indira Gandhi, Prime Minister, it was Garibi Hatao, let us eliminate poverty. Hum do, hamare do. Some of the old people must be remembering that. We two, our two. That means just parents and just two kids. What it gave rise to was a very artificial way. So, when I read that, I'm not an expert. Please don't ask me questions afterwards that, you know, how dare you say, you know, six children per young girl. You know how dangerous it is for the human body. And what do we do with that? Do we give them proper education, upbringing? I know. All these things are there. And Prabhupada, certainly, Prabhupada is the last person I can accuse of suggesting something impractical. Right now, just for this Adi Lila chapter 14, text 55 purport, Prabhupada is exposing us to just one single aspect of Vedic culture. And that is, some families were large, some were small. Kunti had 5 children. Gandhari had 100. But there was no problem, right? So, Radha Govind Maharaj gives an example. This is India, so you have to transfer yourself a little bit culturally. This is the Mumbai train, local train. And there are 3 people sitting. Normally, there is space for 3 and 1 at a pinch. So these 3 friends are sitting and someone else comes and says, can you just move here? Move a little bit there. And he says, where is the space? Where is the space? Jaga kidhar hai? So he says, a little bit, you know, I can just, ease myself. He says, no, there is no space. And 1 or 2 stations later, their friend comes in, who's quite stocky, is heavily built. And they say, come on, sit. And he says, no, you know, I'll be inconveniencing all 3 of you. I say, arey, sit. So, you might be wondering, the first guy was a thin, slim person. And he was requesting, could you please move a little bit so that I also can sit? And they said, no, They're right. There is no space. And here the friend has come and he is saying, no, politely, I don't want to sit here. And they are forcing him, no. So he says, so where exactly is the space? Here. Space has to be here. If there is space here, then even physical space is available. If there is no space here, then even you could be, you know, a one person per square kilometer and you would feel miserable. So, the kind of mood which comes with reading Prabhupada's purports is like, certainly, you know, some social observer of ISKCON today will say, how is it practical? How can we propagate this to everybody? Certainly not. This is not meant for propagation. This is child Nimai is mischievously playing with these girls there. And did the girls take it seriously? No. Okay, I just wanted to say one thing. This is verse 86. I was just going a little bit ahead. And here, this is the end of the chapter practically. Verse 86, which we'll be discussing later. Jagannath Mishra, Lord Chaitanya's father, he would be angry with him. He would rebuke him. And the neighbors would come and say, don't do like that. Don't you know your son is someone special? And this is what the father of Lord Chaitanya says. Mishra kahe deva siddha muni ke nenoi. Jai se bada hauk matra amara tanai. Jagannath Mishra replied, this boy may be a demigod, a mystic yogi, or a great saintly person. It doesn't matter for what he is, for I think he is only my son. The Shastras say, what is that potency which makes someone like Jagannath Mishra think of Lord Chaitanya as his son? He says, the same Maya. Really? The same Maya which keeps me away from Krishna? Yes. Electricity, if it is used properly, can produce ice, or in an oven, it can produce heat. Electricity is neither hot nor cold. So that Maya potency, when it is exercised in this material world, it causes us complete forgetfulness of who Krishna is in a wrong way. We become his competitors and all hell breaks loose. That same Maya in the spiritual realm also causes someone to forget who Krishna is. Here Jagannath Mishra is saying, I don't care whether he's a demigod or a siddha or this or that. He's just my son. That also is the same Maya. But the result is simple bliss. So we have a choice. Maya is the same. She looks like illusory potency for us here. In the spiritual realm, she is the Ladini potency. Gives rise to unlimited bliss. And that choice is never taken away from us. Anytime. So I would like to thank you. It's already 9. Any quick comments, questions, corrections? Thank you so much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Gokulananda ji ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Ram Lakshman Sita Bhakta Hanuman ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.